All right, clubs going up on a Tuesday. We got Jack Settleman back in the saddle. He's going to be competing in a $100,000 shootout with Gilbert Arenas and one of our former co-hosts, Peter Jennings, who can't make time for us anymore. We'll hear about how he's prepping for that. We'll talk a little Ravens, a little Super Bowl preview here. And then, of course, it is playoff best ball drafting season. A bunch of us have been drafting a ton. We'll talk a little strategy, maybe hop in a draft or two. It's the club. Let's do it. All right, Jack Settleman back in the club like the good old days. I mean, this is what? Is this now the 3-year anniversary around this time, Jack, when we did our first podcast about Top Shot? Was that 3 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. It's crazy.
It is not. Yeah, this was like literally that time because it was like second week of January. There was the Bales post, then Jack bought his moment, Andy had his Substack post, slid into my DMs, and next thing you know, the club was born. But how have you been, man?
I've been good. Yeah, take me back to the days where me saying I think CJ McCollum at $80 base moment is underpriced. Those were the sweet days. But yeah, all good. Fast football season. You know, as you grow older, I feel like time just flies. It's a smaller percentage of your life, so it just gets more meaningless and more meaningless. But great football season, and yeah, I would love to briefly recap some preseason takes and then offer some playoff takes, because we hit some and we missed some, and we're all over the map there.
Yeah, let's. I do want to circle back to that because I remember you did have an accountability post where you went back and watched one of our shows. But real quick, Andy, looking jacked as all get out in the Wawa tank. I mean, just absolutely flexing on the haters today. How are we doing?
I'm good. Had to do it, and by had to do it, I mean I got home from the gym about 5 minutes ago, and didn't have time to change and was too lazy to change. But good. It's a very gloomy day here in New York. Not a lot going on otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm also currently in one of the Big Mitten 2 drafts. So sorry, I'm like one round bust. I'm distracted.
Look at you. The Big Mitten 2 gets released and right away Andy's in those streets. Clay, how are you doing down there? And it looks like very cozy North Carolina.
Yeah, it's a cozy day for sure. Got one eye on the draft, one eye on the playoff bracket, another eye on the tornado radar right now. A little crazy down here at the moment. Our neighbor's yard is completely underwater. It's hard to tell where the lake meets the yard. I think we've got I don't know how much rain has fallen in the last like 12 hours, but it's pretty nuts at the moment. So we're hoping that we don't lose power midstream. But other than that, we're great, man. It is trying to be a little cozy for the afternoon for sure.
Are you starting to regret moving out of New York? I mean, Andy's out here just going to the gym, drafting best ball teams, and you're trying to keep your house afloat.
Well, look, as long as we don't float away, I'm feeling pretty good about things because I think Andy's got something coming later today that direction. And if you guys have seen the horror videos of the New York City subway life, or if you try to go anywhere, flooding might be worse in Brooklyn than it is currently here. So we'll see. We'll check in late, like 8 hours from now with Andy.
Yeah, the flooding has been bad around here lately. So I don't want to get into a pissy match about that one.
I'm gonna send Andy a stand-up paddleboard.
So Jack, I do want to talk about the Gilbert Arena shootout, or do you want to do, you know, circling back to 2023 season long fantasy takes first?
No, I did my accountability thread. Obviously, I thought the comment section from that episode was very accurate. They said I was kind of all over the board, and the predictions came in all over the board. But my most passionate take was that Sky Moore sucked and he stunk, and that is the one that I'm most happy to see through.
Okay. Yeah, and I believe my comment to you was, if that's your take, you better be loading up on Rashi Rice.
Yes. Yes. No, it was honestly a very productive conversation. My rashness combined with your rationalism, and we landed on Rashi Rice. And I don't think Jahmyr Gibbs won anyone $3 million, although we kind of saw the upside by the end of the season. And, you know, I think looking back, you know, just some growth, accountability, like you said, way too much trust in Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. Like, just that one just way too much trust. But besides that, Lamar, I mean, I guess fantasy wise didn't look great, but the Ravens look great. So yeah, it was a good season. Good season. A lot of injuries, but good season overall.
I mean, Lamar looked pretty good week 17.
He did. Oh. He
looked pretty damn good week 17.
What was the guy's name? I know his username. What was the guy's name who won BBM?
Fareed. Fareed. Yeah.
Fareed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was his team? I didn't even see. Did he have Lamar?
Jordan Love was who won it for him in week 17. That he had the Jordan Love, Jaden Reed stack. The way things broke in BBM, it was like a little bit harder, I think, to finish in like the top 10 with Lamar. You saw Lamar winning people all of like the smaller tournaments, right, though. Right. Like, the Ravens were such a weird team for fantasy football this year because they were so good and yet so many injuries like just basically wiped them out. Like, if you had just taken Lamar and like didn't stack him, you would have been doing fine. But if you like triple stacked him, like I always did, it was like, well, Bateman didn't do anything, JK Dobbins out for the season, Andrew's injured, and you're like, shit.
Even Gus by playoff time was getting like 6 carries a game, and then in a game we didn't even need to play, he had 14 carries. It was a bizarre scene. It's why I think there's so much conversation around Lamar MVP, because he doesn't have the crazy numbers like Allen or Dak does, but like if you understand his impact on the team, he's been the best player all year, in my opinion. And they've scored like 30 plus points, like 8 of the last 9 weeks. They've just been killing people.
Yeah. So what has it been like? I mean, this is probably what, I mean, you've been a diehard Ravens fan since you were a kid, but this is probably the closest you've been to the organization, right? From regularly podcasting with Marlon.
Definitely the closest I've been. We've started to do some manifestation, some visualization, because we always get to Marlon's place like 30 minutes, probably 45 minutes before he gets back from like practice or whatever he has setting up. And then he walks in, he's like, what's up, fellas? So like, now I'm visualizing after we win the AFC championship, what that walk-in is going to be, media day. So, you know, 2024, you set some goals, you do some visualization. So that's in the cards. Ravens Twitter, Ravens fans have like some of the most severe PTSD from 2019, obviously, because it was a very similar thing. They just steamrolled everyone. They beat San Fran in prime time, like very similar things. I think that 19 is going to be a good thing for them going forward. Like, they won't make those same mistakes. Marlon said they took too much time off in that bye week. They weren't as focused as they should have been. They were looking ahead to Kansas City. They could obviously lose the game. That's what people don't understand. It's 60 minutes. The ball is not even round. It's oblong. And the refs are, you know, controlled by Western civilization. Who knows? The Illuminati. So anything could happen.
Aaron Rodgers.
As we look at, you know, Daniel D's comment, Flacco is coming. You could face Tua in that dynamic offense. Like, I have real fears of the teams we're going to play. But if you're going to go win a Super Bowl, you got to beat good teams. And the teams that are coming to Baltimore are saying, we got to go play Baltimore. So it's a good team. Lamar's at a different level. And if we go to the, I'm in like a big headspace of get me to Vegas, and then I'll figure out if we're going to win and finish the job. But like, that's the mission, is win the 2 games, get there. Cause that week would just be a lot of fun with how close, you know, I've kind of put our company aligned with the Ravens.
It's funny you mention Flacco. I'm sure you saw, but did you see that you won that very first draft we did at from the Super Bowl house?
Yeah, with Flacco.
And you with Flacco. Like, you drafted Joe Flacco as a bit, and it ended up being like the sickest late season hammer possible. And like, Joe Flacco wasn't even getting drafted in BBM, which opened up in May, but you drafted him on a team in literally the beginning of February last year.
Well, Settlement took him on a different draft too, like later on in our drafting season when we were on the club.
Yeah, weekly winners. I think I might have had him.
Yeah.
But I didn't win any money on that. My team was so dead. But the irony to the whole thing, well, first of all, it's a lesson. Don't trust Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. Always play the bits. And yeah, look at Flacco, 91 fantasy. But
yeah,
for the
you
first
got 91 from Flacco.
I didn't draft
in February.
I didn't draft him in freaking I didn't draft him in any best ball teams when like he literally would have made the team so alive.
I think he only got drafted one time in all of BBM4.
Yeah. And it wasn't me, which is the shocking part.
Yeah.
The only player I remember drafting from that one was Adam Thielen. I couldn't understand why he was being drafted so late. And everyone was like, because he's dust, because he's trash. And like, he pretty much was dust and trash outside of like a 6 week stretch where he just went nuclear. So,
You did the perfect pairing, which you have Adam Thielen for the first 10 weeks of the season, and then you have Joe Flacco for the second half of the season. Exactly. That was the pairing you needed.
Well, you needed, ladies and gentlemen. Look at your balance. What'd you win? What'd you cash in?
Dude, we've been out here grinding in the Battle Royale streets. We finished
cash games from last week.
Cash caves. Yeah, no, we're just grinding, man. Here's the thing. When you actually have a decent best ball season, they actually give you money at the end of the year. Normally you just enter all those contests and assume you'd never see it again. But
yeah, that's what I literally got the $32 and I advanced one
that
team
was your
to the
one,
semis.
That was your
I
one
advanced
team?
One team to the semi. So I think I got like $40 back. But besides that, yeah, it's a nice donation. I think you can write it off charity, underdog, you know, good people. So yeah, it was a tough season.
Don't you normally follow like the past 2 years? You're like, oh shit, I want a max BBM, but I'm way behind schedule. And then you like auto or rip off a bunch of drafts like a day before.
That was just this year. So I used a bunch of like ETR rankings and then I self-adjusted. Like I literally removed Sky Moore and MVS from my queue. So I had 0% owned to them, which was great. But then I had drafted probably 25 manually. And then I was like, all right, it's literally a month to go. So I started trying to draft multi-tabling, just couldn't find the time this year. And so I got to like 40 teams probably hand drafted. Then I went 40 teams auto drafted. And they were all like five quarterback teams. Like I didn't really set them up correctly. So then I had probably like a third of my teams were just dead off rip.
Yeah, Neil was checking the chains. Said you had a ton of ADP value there. There you go.
And then the last like 50 or so teams were pretty. You can never get perfect correlation. That's the thing with this auto drafting stuff. But you can get really good ADP. So like I was sitting in a spot where I was 40% Jonathan Taylor like in rounds 4 and 5, and if he hadn't gotten hurt in like the last 2 weeks in the first round of the playoffs, I probably would have moved on some pretty live teams, but obviously he got banged up. And then his big week was, you know, week 18 after it was all over. So yeah, good learning experience and unsure what I'll do next year, but I think it's something like 3,500 in and, you know, $40 back. So good investment.
Hey, well, nice. You think about the amount of hours of entertainment that you got as well and all of that.
Yeah.
It pays for itself.
No, even getting a team to the semifinal and just having any form of sweat in the semi is probably worth the investment. Least it's not like I saw people screenshots that were like, you know, 800 hours, $3,700 in and $3,600 out. Like that's a dollar an hour. It's hilarious.
How'd your brother Casey do? Because he's really loves grinding this stuff now.
Yeah. I think he only drafted like 8 or 10 teams this year. We went on a family.
You got
vacation.
Him on the TikTok soccer grind and you threw him off the BBM grind.
Yeah. We went on a family vacation in like August and it really just blew up all our free time there. So maybe next year. Although this year it was so tough with the injuries, like it kind of removed a little bit of the fun for me. I think next year we'll see a little bit reverse the mean there. So we'll be back at it.
Yeah, I feel like especially with quarterback injuries, it's like one thing, a bunch of players get hurt every year, but when half the starting quarterbacks get hurt, you look at so many teams and you're like, I don't even know if I did a good job with this team or not because all three of the quarterbacks that I drafted are out for the season.
Jack, you'll appreciate this. Every year with my college buddies, they always want to do like a basket of futures bets for NFL that we sweat together. And so this year, like I didn't have the time to like pick them out. And I was like, let's just have a theme. I was like, let's go in on the Ravens. So we bet them their win total over that hit. We bet Lamar Jackson MVP looks like that's going to hit. And then we have them to win the Super Bowl, obviously, as part of that. And then the fourth one that obviously didn't hit was J.K. Dobbins to lead the league in rushing. And that's the one that always kills me because I'm like, if J.K. Dobbins played 17 games, he was going to smash this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And McCaffrey, what? He finished like 15 under sub 1500, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That because Gus, I mean, the Ravens, even with how much they've needed to use Gus, they still will only give him 10 to 12 touches a game. And that's like at the highest ceiling. And it's funny because a couple years ago, in BBM, I was drafting a ton of Gus with literally like he's going to be the goal line back. And then he got hurt. And then everyone was kind of like, even his ceiling is so low because he's so touchdown reliant. And then, of course, this year it plays out like this was the path. Like you just Dobbins goes down and you get 50 yards and a touchdown in every game and you become kind of a piece every week. So, yeah, there were Ravens to have, but Lamar on stack seems to be the best way to win it all if you could even get that team there.
It sucks too, because it's like, okay, you lose Dobbins, but then they finally unearth Keaton Mitchell, who looks like a total revelation. I mean, like he was going to do like Devon Achane like things in the playoffs, and then they lose him. And it's like, God damn, man.
Yeah. Well, we got Dalvin Dus Cook.
So, going from J.K. Dobbins and Keaton to Dalvin Cook.
Who literally put out what might go down as my favorite tweet of all time. I think he tweeted last night, like, playoff time with a purple heart. And I was like, brother, like that's not even the guy who's not in the class project and gets an A. That's really like you haven't even been activated to the team. So that had me cracking up, but he's at the same agency as Zay Flowers. So like playoffs.
The best part is he retweeted himself later.
That's his brother.
Did Alvin tweet it too?
No.
Playoff football. Were they in the lab together on these tweets?
I don't know, but that was cracking me up because, I get it. You want to ingrain yourself in the team, but at least like Leonard Fournette had 6 carries the other night. Like you literally haven't even been activated. It was just so funny.
And like Dalvin's not even a lock to get touches over Melvin Gordon.
I feel bad for Melvin. So here's your inside game. I wouldn't draft Dalvin in playoff best ball, but he will be running back 3 because so the knock on Gordon is like his fumbling problems. And he literally fumbled in his one opportunity on Sunday or Saturday. So I would imagine they're going to go to Dalvin, but like Justice Hill has been a revelation over the last few weeks. If you're drafting Dalvin, you're galaxy braining pretty hard, in my opinion.
The funniest part is that Dalvin's tweet was first in the timeline of those tweets.
Yeah. Legendary.
Dalvin's playoff tweet. And then it was like Twitter couldn't even register the time difference because it had like a date next to his of like yesterday. Then James's was like eight hours later.
And the best part is on top of all of this is like it's not even like the Ravens are playing this week too. Like they're literally off, so it's not even playoff time. We don't know who we're playing. The guys had off the last 2 days. He's not even at work. It is just such a niche, funny tweet that us being online so often makes it great.
So do you want to play Flacco in round 2? Like of Flacco, Stroud, or Tua, who do you want to see?
So the crappy part about our divisional round matchup is that it's guaranteed to be a team we already played, and Lamar is best against new teams. He's like 19-1 against the NFC in his career. Like there is value to when a team, even the Chiefs or Buffalo, who hasn't seen him just this season, gives us a big advantage. So we won't have that advantage. I think I want to play Pittsburgh. Like I would kill to play Pittsburgh. They stink and they swept the Ravens, which is like they're not going to beat us 3 times, but I doubt they're going to beat Buffalo. Although you just never know with Buffalo. So
well, Watt's out as well now too. So like,
yeah,
that's such a massive.
And he would be out in next week too. So it's highly doubtful that they get
Mason Rudolph
unless Josh Allen throws up on himself, but Josh Allen likes to do things from time to time. So if it's between Houston and the Browns, I would rather.
You don't want to see the Browns.
I just think we'll be 6-point favorites against both. And I think both just pose interesting threats. I guess Flacco's kind of like variance is higher, in my opinion. I don't, Houston's variance, like we shut them down really, really well, but it was week one of Stroud. Like it was so early. Yeah. But then again, they're down Tank Dell, they're down, you know, weapons. And I think Mike McDonald's defense would keep, like, the only way you get beat by the Texans, in my opinion, is like you let Nico beat you. And I just don't think they're going to let Nico get over top the way Indy did or something like that. Flacco's variance because of the way he's just slinging that rock around is so high, but like he's thrown something like 15 touchdowns in his six games, but he's thrown like 11 interceptions. So like in playoff football, it's not going to be a great strategy. So I would probably rather play the Browns. The Browns defense is elite, but they're so banged up. So either team, I think the Ravens have an advantage. And then AFC Championship, if we want to look ahead, Buffalo or Kansas City, I think I'd rather play. I don't know. I really find all the AFC teams to be like the same. They pose just individual threats to the Ravens, but the Ravens are the better team in every matchup.
If I think I were the team I would least want to face if I were the Ravens would be the Bills. Because I just don't think any other team really can like has the blend of offense and defense to kind of,
yeah.
Whereas like the Bills, like if they go pass heavy, like getting in a shootout with them could be scary.
I feel like,
but they wouldn't see the Bills like until the championship round, right?
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Bills and Chiefs are locked into the AFC championship if it falls that way versus the Ravens. So that's nice. So you avoid both the, like you won't have to play both of them. I mean, I wouldn't want to play Miami either. Miami was moving the ball and they didn't have Waddle or Mostert in that game. I know like how Tua plays in big games, but I don't know. It's just McDermott's been pretty good against Lamar historically. Lamar's been pretty good against Kansas City historically. It was the defense couldn't stop Mahomes. And I mean, it's been the best defense all year and that offense has looked like crap, but like it truly does reset. Like, I don't know. I'm fading Philly, but if Philly came out and looked like Philly, you know, given a week of preparation, would that surprise anyone? No, you draw on that playoff experience. So this is why we like the playoffs. It's a fresh start and anything could really happen.
What do you guys think, Andy? What do you think the spread is if we get the chalk Super Bowl Ravens Niners? What do you think the spread is on that neutral field?
Is Mark Andrews back for that game?
Sure.
Yeah, Isaiah, it doesn't matter.
I think he might be.
I think he's going to be. I've been drafting him in the last round of best ball sometimes. I think it's probably Ravens by like 2.5, 1.5. I think it's closer.
We'll be dogs.
I think the market will have Ravens dogs.
Although I will say, so the market has Ravens as dogs right now. Like it's
was there a game against the Niners at home?
No, it was in San Fran. which is why like the traditional, the people who don't understand gambling were like, but they beat them by 14 in San Fran. Like, how would they not be favorite? I get why they're I mean, Brock threw four picks. So that's probably not going to happen again. Their drive quality was high, all that bullshit. But I think Niners probably open as 3-point favorites and it lands like whatever. You just play the money line either way.
So, yeah, I think it's like pretty even.
But I will say San Fran's path, let's say chalk across the board. If San Fran beats the Bucks or the Eagles, who look like crap, and then they beat like a choking Dallas team by two touchdowns and they look really good doing it, they might get credit or they might not. And then if the Ravens beat Buffalo, like, and Buffalo just being Kansas City, maybe they give them a little more credit, but it won't be three either way, like more or less than three, I feel like.
All right, we're going to dive into some actual playoff drafts here in a sec, but before we do, I got to hear about the Gilbert Arenas shootout presented by Underdog. I saw a cryptic tweet from you a couple weeks ago before it was announced that you're going to start getting some shots up, start training. Tell the people what's going on here and what you're going to be participating in.
Yeah, I mean, they've posted something. It's definitely live. So essentially, Gil's shootout, which is in partner with Underdog, but also Gil's Arena, which is his weekly show that he does about the NBA and basketball and pop culture. He put together his contest. There was a qualifier, I think for like 8 spots, maybe half the field was selected and then half the field qualified earlier in December. So we're headed out to LA. It's next Saturday. How committed am I to this? It's going to be, I already know it's in the middle of the Ravens game. Like the Ravens schedule hasn't even come out
yet.
Yeah, it's literally like Casey. This is the first time where Casey was like, I might quit. Like, it's just like, this is because it starts 4 Eastern. And I just know that it's going to be right through the thick of it. So I'm treating it as like the Ravens are going to roll their divisional opponent and we'll see you in the AFC championship. But besides that, so we're going out to LA. It'll be on Saturday. Bunch of different rules that Gil kind of set. So I think it's like 25 mid-range shots round one, go from 16 to 8. Then you hit high school threes, college threes, then college plus pro threes, I think, in the final. Gil originally was going to do like bracket, and I was going to face off with Gil round one, which I was excited for because I would have lost, but I was going to show up in like a Javarius Crittenden jersey. I was going to put out some nice quotes about how growing up as a Wizards fan, I watched Gil crash out of the first round very often, but I'll just have to save those for another time. So it's for 100K. The best part is that for the first time ever, you'll be able to actually pick them on everyone in the competition. So I will actually have a projection in the app of, let's see, round one is, I think, 25 shots. Yeah, 25 shots. My projection will likely be like, I put it at 12 and a half. I think they're going to put it at much higher because it's mid-range. So I'm not throwing the competition. I mean, it's for $100,000 fucking dollars, but I don't know.
You sound like you have a defeatist mentality already, Jack.
I mean, all right, you've known me for 3 years now. What is the one thing I always say when we talk basketball?
You're below the rim, Russell Westbrook. Great basketball player, bad shooter. Yeah, that seems like an issue for a $100,000 shootout.
Yeah, like the first one I did.
Get his line down so then Casey can bet the up on it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm line moving on myself so the sharps can get action on the higher. The first one of these I did, not for Gil, but for House of Highlights, it was free throws. Or it was supposed to be 3-pointers. And we got there and they were like, 3-pointers are going to be too tiring. Like, we've dumbed it down to free throws. I was like, I've been practicing banking threes from the top of the key for like 2 weeks. So we've got like 11 days to go. I've not shot a basketball in 4 months. And I can't find, there's nowhere in New York to just like get shots up. Like, where in New York City can I go to literally get shots up for like an hour? Like, not a run, not a pickup game. Like, just where do you go?
Isn't there like a goddamn like Equinox or something?
Yeah, there are definitely some. There's
I don't have the all.
Hey, real New Yorkers play street ball, baby.
Real boy. Yeah, I'm not going out to the fucking park on West 4th right now. Like,
Where's your grind set? Where's your grind mindset right now, Jack? Like, this is just all defeatist mentality. I don't have anywhere to indoor. Get shots up. Do you know how many people would be out here just getting shots up in the snow on the most unforgiving rim in the world right now if they had this opportunity?
Yeah, it is a little bit defeatist, but like, how drawing dead am I? I'm facing off with fucking Gilbert Arenas. Did you see the video I posted on Twitter? Like, these guys, it's second nature to him making jump shots. Like, Peter Jennings is drawing dead, and he will never admit it, but he's got no chance in the world. Like, when he's like, shooter, like 60%. Gilbert's like 90% in practice. He played in the NBA and was a shooter. So, yeah, I'm a little defeatist. I'm going to go for it, though. I'm really going to try my best. I hope people make some money.
Any given Sunday, right? You never know.
Exactly.
Jack, and you, do you know what, you have an advantage on all these guys? Like, you have done, what, it was the 3 years ago, the NBA All-Star game. You did a, what was it, a knockout contest?
Yeah, knockout contest.
Yeah. So I'm saying, but it's under the limelight, the pressure, the cameras. That's your advantage in all of this.
That's true. Like you were saying, Gil doesn't have that experience because he got knocked out of the playoffs.
He's never played under the limelight.
He doesn't know.
To be fair, think about the last time Gil shot with only like a few hundred people in attendance. It's probably been a minute. He's used to all that crowd noise. And I've only played in gyms with sub 300 people. So it's a fair point.
But if Jamal Murray was playing, you're saying that you would have a chance.
Well, Jamal, I outshoot him all day. But yeah, kills it. That's Agent Zero. That's a different level.
I assume this will be live streamed, right?
Yes, this will be live streamed on Gil's Arena YouTube channel. So, I mean, it'll be great. You can literally, for all you haters in the comments, you can take a Jack Settleman lower with a Lamar Jackson lower, and simultaneously, those events will likely be happening. It'll be an excellent day that everyone will surely enjoy.
Where is this happening? I'm excited.
It's in LA, but it's like 45 minutes outside of downtown LA. So it's like there's some famous gym that's kind of out there that people use for stuff like this.
And is McCants participating?
Yeah. Rashad's in it. Right. Jenna Bandy, who beat me, who's fucking knocked down, she's in it.
Sleeper.
And who else?
Any Jester's other content creators?
Jester's in it. I don't think Josiah is playing. He might be hosting. Cameron, I think, is gonna be out there. So there'll be a lot of distractions. I'm still gonna give it a good go. I'm just saying, look, you guys know me. Sometimes I might come on here and be like, I'm an underdog. I just wouldn't, if they posted odds at a sports book, I wouldn't necessarily pony up on myself.
There you go, Jack. Thank you for some good financial advice there. All right, let's use the second half of the show to talk some playoff best ball. Andy, you were in a big mitten right as we were going on the air. What is your, just like right now that we finally have the full bracket solidified, what are your favorite angles to attack?
Yeah, well, so it's interesting. Like I've been drafting since the contest opened forever ago, and so I've seen like the markets change a lot. And so probably for those who have not been following along for as long, the biggest change outside of teams who got eliminated, like the Jaguars for a long time are getting drafted, but like they suck. The biggest change has been the Bills. Cause when this contest first came out, it was like all time low sentiment on the Bills. And at that point they had like a 15% chance of even making the playoffs. And so they were like essentially free. So there are like a ton of, maybe a ton is the wrong word because most of those teams drafted a bunch of dead players too. But there are like some pretty crazy Bills super teams. Like I have a couple of Bills teams that I drafted early on where it's like you have literally every player on the Bills and then literally every player on some NFC team that you wanted to get. And so now Josh Allen is going in like the first round, normally like pick four now. His ADP is showing seven on the site. I've been in like 50 drafts today. It's not seven. It's probably more like four. I think outside of that, the interesting thing has been like CeeDee Lamb kind of being the only non bye week player that consistently goes top three. I've seen him actually go one a lot, which I personally don't subscribe to, but I get why people are doing it. Outside of that, the other big slider is the Eagles. Like, I've drafted Jalen Hurts. I've personally drafted him in the 10th round. And so, like, I know that he's going, like, almost undrafted. And it depends, though. Like, there's drafts where he goes in the third round. There's drafts where he goes essentially.
I did that yesterday. Literally took him in, like, the fourth round, I think.
I think that the Philadelphia FUD has gotten too intense. I, like, they're definitely not a team. I was not betting on them very much early on. Shirt. Yeah. My Philly, not even a Philly fan, but I think it's gone too far. So them and Miami are the two that have just like totally the floor has fallen out on them. Now Rams guys are going above them. A lot of teams like that.
That's one of the trickiest things about this contest. If you're playing it optimally, is there's a lot of builds where you can't even take advantage of those fallers. Like I've had some where I kind of find the Chiefs to be values, like where even like Rashee Rice and Pacheco, and I'll get them. And then like Achane will be available in the ninth round in one of these drafts. And I'm like, well, I can't logically take this player, but holy shit, I kind of wish I went a different direction so I could scoop up this Miami value.
Yeah, I actually literally just sent a message during this stream saying that I'm having a really hard time taking Tyreek Hill right now, because as those Chiefs players fall and I already have Tyreek Hill, I just like can't bring myself to structurally draft those Chiefs players. And so I've been, unless it's crazy value on Hill, I'm really not taking him anymore. Unless it's a, you know, one out of six advance and you're kind of just trying to get the nuts and you're going for like a Baltimore Niners Super Bowl or something.
What, real quick, just because I haven't been in the streets, can you give, I guess, like a few minute primer on what is optimal playoff strategy? I think that could be helpful for myself, but also for others.
For sure. And I'll also mention I did a 101 beginner's guide on Fantasy Life. I can link to that in the show notes. And then a couple of weeks ago, I did a show with Karain, which covered a lot of ground. But I would say, you know, the what makes these contests so fun is you essentially have these four uncorrelated rounds where the points reset each week. So the problem you're trying to solve for is having enough firepower to get out of the wild card round, the divisional round, the conference championship round, and score enough points in the Super Bowl while still being able to field a full starting lineup in the Super Bowl. Whereas if you like reverse engineer it, and if you're like, oh, my only goal is to get out of round one, well, you could just take, you take Kyren Williams and you take Mike Evans and you do all this, but there's no way that all of those teams can make it to the Super Bowl where you want at least five starting lineup spots, a quarterback, a running back, two wide receivers slash tight ends, and a flex. And so you're trying to find that equilibrium between fielding a starting lineup in the Super Bowl, but having enough firepower to advance each round.
And this is niche, but was there a positive EV return if you just drafted to make it out of the first round? I feel like I remember that going around last year, that the payout, if you just advanced through, maybe it wasn't the first round, but the second round too, that you could actually turn a profit. What is the payout structure super top heavy like BBM?
Yeah. So it's also, they changed it. Maybe I don't remember exactly what the structure was last year. So this year, if you make it past the first round, it's the top two out of six make it. So first of all, it's like disincentivizing trying to draft the nuts random team, because you know you have a 1 in 3 chance of advancing regardless. But advancing doesn't even pay out your minimum entry. At least in the gauntlet, you get $20 back when you advance, I think. Yeah.
Got it.
And so you'd have to make it past two rounds. But I think with the way the structure is, it really, really encourages building like this. And then Pete, maybe you said this and I missed it, but the other thing, like the reason why drafting, you can't really draft Miami and Kansas City together, or you can, but it's kind of not encouraged, is because you want to like theoretically kind of draft in like a four team bucket of who you are expecting the conference championship games to be. And so since those two teams are playing each other this week, you're automatically like going against that kind of like structural goal. And so, you know, you can take a one off and, you know, obviously that team isn't going to immediately be dead. But it's just not like a perfectly optimal team. I would say, like, generally, if you're going up to four teams, you want it to be four teams, two from each conference who could theoretically be playing in the championship.
And the thought isn't to say, like, a guy like Chris Godwin that you tack on couldn't help you advance. Like, he could certainly help you advance, torch the Eagles secondary. The problem is you're going to show up in, say, the conference championship weekend, and there's going to be teams that have your exact same team except one extra piece, because you've already lost Chris Godwin and they have that extra piece. So, and they might've just skirted by of advancing a team. And that's the thing, like Sacrilegious, who's done a lot of cool data on this for Legendary Upside, he pointed out, I think it was last year, 10% of teams, or it was like somewhere between 5 to 10% advanced without even a quarterback scoring in round one. So your goal should just be like optimized for conference championship and Super Bowl, and then just see what you get through, just knowing even at the baseline, like worst case scenario, you're going to advance some of those teams and then just try to build teams that can turn into monsters down the stretch.
And structurally, what is the recommendation on position by position? Is it single quarterback or can you draft two QBs?
Generally single QB. Obviously, if you draft Lamar or Purdy, yeah, you want a second quarterback. I think there's a very rare occasion, if I'm doing a two-team build, like I've done a couple where it's like, I've done so many of these that I've done a million combinations, but where I'm doing like Rams, Browns, just like full on, what if these two teams are the teams you need? And I'll draft Stafford and Flacco because it's like, I'm taking every single good player on these teams. But generally, you know, if you're taking like a Dak or a Josh Allen or someone, you're spending a lot of draft capital on them. And so picking another quarterback there, I think you'd have to have a really good reason to. But I would say generally a single QB.
Yeah, I haven't done the build yet. I guess the only thing, like if you punted both of your quarterbacks, like if you wanted to play two big dogs, like say you wanted to play the Joe Flacco and Jordan Love and just be like, what if one of these teams makes the Super Bowl run? I think you could justify a two QB build there, but otherwise I'm only doing it. Like if I take Tua or I take Dak, you know, I'm like, I'm playing them to the Super Bowl. Like that's what I'm playing. And then the other thing is just the way the positional requirements go. Like you want to de-emphasize running back, but it's also interesting because running back's pretty scarce this year when you're doing it. But the other thing that's been a key shift for me a lot based on Sacrilegious is data on this too, is like you want your running back like tied to your quarterback and your Super Bowl team, ideally. Yeah. So even if I have like, if I have a Josh Allen team and I miss out on James Cook, which will happen, like if you don't start your draft with three straight Bills, like you'll probably miss out on him. Like I'm taking Leonard Fournette, or if I miss out on Gus Edwards with Lamar, I'm taking Justice Hill because of like, one, you want to use your firepower at the wide receiver, but also like you can get that ping ponging effect, right? Like you get the Gus Edwards two TD week where he helps advance you. And then like Lamar goes nuke in the Super Bowl or vice versa. Like just having your a running back and a quarterback from the team you're going to the Super Bowl, like really boosts your advance rates.
And
my last favorite nuggets from SAC.
Yeah.
Was the running back pairing. That makes sense. Would you, so you're in rounds 8, 9, 10, you've established, you know, Ravens Niners as your Super Bowl, with, I guess, Kansas City pass catchers in the AFC Championship and Dallas, you know, Pollard or I don't know, in the NFC Championship. And so you're down into 8, 9, 10. Are you, if especially I guess if it's San Fran and Baltimore, but maybe more so even just one bye, are you taking Rashad Bateman, wide receiver 3 and potentially weapon 4, 5, 6? Or are you taking Chris Godwin if you've already got one or two guys? Like, is it the depth of the Super Bowl, or is it actually like, do you only want 5 guys in the Super Bowl, or do you need those other pieces to advance you? I guess is the question.
I think that one is somewhat easy in that, like, if you go the Baltimore San Francisco route, like the max you can really, I guess you could do more, but like, I would only want to take 5 bye week players. Because one, that can fill out my starting lineup for the Super Bowl, but then I'm going to need all 5 of those other players to hit my starting lineup in round 1 to help me advance. So like in that example, if I already had a combined 5 Ravens and Niners, I'm for sure taking Chris Godwin. And if I am taking Chris Godwin, like I would want him to be paired with another Buck. Like ideally, like I'm saying, hey, the Buccaneers pull this off and then they can help me again. Yeah. In round 2. But yeah, basically I've done those builds. I've done like 5 Ravens, Niners combined. And then I'm like, give me, you know, multiple stabs at a team that I don't expect to play. That's the other thing. Like once you go on the Niners, like I don't want the Rams, because if the Rams pull off the upset, then they're going to face the Niners in round 2. So you got to be really intentional with where you're loading up. I like thinking of it through like a leveraged angle of like, oh, say if the path for the Niners is now really easy, maybe it's because the Packers upset the Cowboys. Mm. So maybe I'll play the Packers as my team that helps me advance or something like that. Yeah. So, those are the kind of things
What was last year's build? Because it was 2-1 seeds, right, who got through.
So if I remember correctly, there were only like 8 or 9 teams that even made it to the finals that could field a full 5-person team.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that team was. I could try to pull it up. I was in the contest.
Did one of those 10 teams win it? The full team?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And the other unique wrinkle about last year, if you recall, was they all had MVS because he went absolutely berserk that 1 week. Remember that? I can't remember.
Against,
I think it was the conference championship.
It was to get into the.
And then once you got there, it was Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney who scored the TDs that ended up hitting people's things. So yeah, that it's a really hard to. Like if we get both bye week teams again and you get a 5 starting lineup, like that's really, really unique, mainly because you got that team through round one,
right?
Which is hard to do.
Cause you're pretty much picking, because it's also the fun wrinkle of like, it reseeds. So, you know, you can't even project who Baltimore is going to play or San Fran's going to play but that's what you have to do. You kind of got to build it. Like they are going to upset them and then land
elsewhere. All right, let's see. I have it up now. I came in 19th last year in the gauntlet.
Really? Did you really? I didn't remember that. Nice.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
I had a 4. Actually, no, I think I did. Let me see. No, yeah, because my issue was I had if San Francisco had won, I had an incredibly live San Francisco KC's team. But obviously they didn't. And so I had just like I had 4 Kansas City players or 5, but I didn't have a quarterback.
This year will be different in that, because last year was 1 out of 6. So advancing 5 bye week guys was really hard. Whereas 2 out of 6, it should theoretically be much easier.
Yeah.
So this guy, stronger teams.
The winner last year had Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts.
Wow.
And then he had Etienne, Saquon Barkley, and Miles Sanders. So Sanders scored 1.5 points, like almost nothing. But Hurts got 40 points in the Super Bowl. So, and then he had Michael Gallup, Dallas Goedert, George Kittle, AJ Brown, Travis Kelce.
How did that take you out of the first round?
I don't remember.
I don't know. The Giants scored a ton in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. But it would have been no quarterback points.
And Brock went off in Seattle against Seattle round one because they weren't the one. Philly was the one.
He had a quarterback round one.
Oh. Got it. My fault.
That's an interesting strategy, right? Because he drafted 2 QBs, but same conference. But I guess that's that's the idea. Brock got him rounds 1 and 2, and then Brock went, and then Hurts 3 and 4.
And that's where like the soft, like I think in a perfect world, if you have, say I have Lamar, like I would prefer my second quarterback to be from the NFC just to give myself a chance for them both to get there. But like, it doesn't necessarily always have to break that way.
Plus if
there's a conference championship point.
Right.
Like that just play for the conference championship is more notion to that, honestly.
Right. Like I'd probably rather have I'd probably rather have Love, who could win me 2 games, who could get me in the first round, get me in the second, if Lamar plays a slogfest against Cleveland. Cause like you're probably not gonna count on your second QB if you draft Lamar, Allen, or Mahomes, you know, to give you those points in the Super Bowl. It's obviously a super unique, but you're probably not getting that.
Yep. Let's see here. What do you guys want to hop in? You want to hop in a gauntlet or a little gauntlet here?
Yeah, I would big gauntlet.
All right. I do have like a bit of a hard out in 10, so I'll watch.
Yeah.
And not play. But
your call, little or big.
Clay, what do you want to hop in?
I'm mittens only strategy.
Okay.
For my personal.
How about this? How about we draft a little gauntlet team together? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack, you're more than welcome to hop in if you want, or you can draft.
No, I'll draft it as a squad. We'll take equity. I'll have MBL Venmo you for my quarter of.
MBL, he's just forever locked into 20% equity of any club stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is the one I'm trying to, I thought initially I was going to max the gauntlet and I was like, there's no way I'm going to try to get to 75 and then I'm going to set my sights on getting my 15 into the little gauntlet here.
So I think I'm going to make it. You're gonna max doesn't fill. Yeah. But we'll see.
What's the strategy in the big mitten?
Run pure, baby.
Is there like a
What is, I actually haven't looked at the advance rate stuff on that. Is it different? Is it 206, I assume, still?
Let me check. I think, yeah, it's 206, definitely.
But, like, is that, are those, the higher entry, the higher stakes tourneys, are those more, like, get there over...
So the big mitten two, the final round is six teams. So right. it's a little bit. It's two of six, one of four, one of three, and then six teams in the finals. So that one's definitely more so like a. I don't think, especially if you're drafting for like a Baltimore, San Francisco, Super Bowl or something, like, I think you could have four players, or maybe three players from the game, and like you can probably be fine.
That's true.
So the little gauntlet is two of six, one of five, one of six, 50-person finals.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite like structure slash price point one, and combination of still a nice first place prize. So we got the 105 here. We got Neil and Raise It in here. So it goes CMC, Lamar, Lamb, Debo. I've been either going Ayuk here or just being capitulating and going with Josh Allen stuff. What do you guys like?
I'll go capitulate personally. Yeah.
You guys want to go the Allen route?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So the one thing, Andy, and tell me if you've noticed this, if you just corner the market on Bills, like you can do the Allen, Diggs, James Cook. But if you make the detour here, like someone else will be like, oh, I'll take James Cook here and build something out. Like you're not as guaranteed. So what have you been liking to do with these Bills builds?
Yeah, I think it really depends. So like if you get Ayuk here, I will just take Ayuk and be like, all right, I think I'm more comfortable missing out on Stephon Diggs than I am on James Cook at this point. Right. Like you were saying, with how thin running back is and everything. I like taking Ayuk there and then getting to four Bills, because you're not going to get another Niners player you feel good about. Yeah. And then you can have like a pretty nice out of like Bills, Niners, Super Bowl feels super live. It's rare anyone's going to have more than, you know, four Bills and one Niner. So I like that combo personally.
Yeah. And the thing I was saying is like someone on the turn, like the CMC drafter might be like, oh, I'll do Diggs Cook. Opposite, like almost the same pairing we have. So sometimes you miss out on both. But like honestly, with the Fournette, you know, backdrop super late and how many deep Bills there are, like I like Khalil Shakir a good bit now. Like it's pretty easy.
Yeah. What's the deal with Gabe Davis's injury? Is he like,
it's a PCT thing, right? It sounds kind of worse than expected. It sounded like he's getting an MRI and he might miss time.
Yeah. I haven't been drafted.
I've seen him go undrafted.
I mean, he doesn't really have a catch in the last month of the season, so it should make it easy.
Kyren super early.
That is, that's really.
I did for fun today while I was doing some personal cardio club gauntlet drafts, and I was like, all right, I'll do one while I'm like act like myself, but I also queued up two auto drafts, and one was all Rams and Browns, and one was all Lions and Browns, because you can essentially auto draft that and like fill your whole team just a 5-on-5. And so I did draft Kyren Williams at 1-3 intentionally in a gauntlet today.
Nice.
If you don't have the bye teams, is that a way to play? You just draft two sides and kind of be done with it.
Yeah, I think you can.
It's not too much though to have like five of each player. I mean team.
No. Yeah, I mean, especially like, you know, in a perfect world, you do it with two teams that were like super live to get to the Super Bowl, right? Like you do Cowboys Bills and like onslaught both of those teams. Like I think that's very viable.
We might sneak something out here.
Wow. Snuck Diggs in. That's really nice.
Should we go Cook first though? Should we go Cook first? Because the turn.
Who does this guy have?
So
he has two receivers.
Wild.
He has Tyreek and Amon-Ra. I kind of like going Cook first here.
I think I agree.
Personally.
I agree too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to draft Diggs because he's obviously just going to do it but I would draft Cook.
I do. Yeah. I agree. I think he was probably more likely to pass on Cook, and yet Cook still means way more to this team, I think. But who knows?
Because if you fill it out with Kincaid and Shakir or something like that, like
Boom.
You can do that at the end.
Ooh,
wow.
That's hot. That's right, hard to do.
He was going two running back there. So I think Cook was going off the board, honestly. Really do.
Wow. So we started Josh Allen, James Cook, Diggs, and snuck in the Brandon Ayuk, which is very nice.
I'm at 1250 right now.
So yeah, so now I think the next thing to do is basically think about who is the second NFC team that we want to get a team from. And normally where I think about it here is like, what team can I get a good running back from? Because we have Cook. Probably don't want to draft three running backs because we have Cook. And so, like, if we can get – like, Jahmyr Gibbs would be the nuts. I doubt we get him. But yeah, that would be what I was thinking about next from this position.
Rico Dowdle.
We could all – yeah.
I'm only half kidding. Like, not with our next pick per se, but –
We should still also consider, Baltimore pieces, looking at the odds to face Buffalo in the AFC championship game, it's 77% for Baltimore and 12% Miami. So Baltimore still really pairs really well with the Bills pieces. And then on the NFC side, we're pretty wide open, right? Cause you could basically play Dallas, Detroit, or Philly.
I've been seeing some of the Baltimore guys slip a little bit lately too. I wonder if people are just bored of drafting the same players over and over again.
I think you start to see the bye week spooks too. You mentioned CeeDee Lamb going 101. I think people start to get a little, they just tense up. I don't want to be investing these early picks in guys who are scoring 0 points. Gibbs does go to the 101 drafter there.
This is a good example, though, of why I still like drafting like a Bills kind of onslaught in particular. And there was like that period up until this past weekend where it was like, really nice in some of these like, mitten drafts or earlier that period of the gauntlet. But you just really got to pick and choose. Like, you take a couple shots on teams that would face the Bills in the Super Bowl and you're going to have that starting lineup as long as we get like one more Bills piece drafted. Like we have four Bills and then you just like we need whatever NFC team makes it to the Super Bowl, have one player live from that team, and you got your starting five. And it's just a really, I think, exciting but yet comfy way to draft that I don't think you're really losing out on a lot, considering if you think the Bills are going to score points in week one.
Yeah.
What do you guys think the one about other... the Philly stuff here? What do you think about, like, DeAndre?
Smitty and Swift looks like the optimal here.
Yeah, I've been buying the dip on Philly, but I think you could probably get them later, to be honest. When did Hurts go? He went kind of early, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to the Mahomes drafter.
Well, you guys got Kyron and Puka off the board.
Huh. Well, we don't want to go Rams because they're going to play our Niners in round two.
Oh, yeah.
I see. Oh, go ahead, Andy.
I almost wonder if we should just take Kincaid and basically say we're done with the Bills.
I don't hate that.
It's definitely a reach for him, but.
I mean, or yeah, now you take the.
Because I think
we're basically we're going to get a lot of information coming back as far as like who is going to drop because like it could be Miami, it seems like it will be. It could be Philly. Could be like a couple of the Detroit guys.
Okay, so
I still don't mind Swift here, because then they were playing for like either a Eagles or 49ers in the Super Bowl to fill out our fifth piece of our Bills stack. We got four Bills. We need one NFC team or player in the Super Bowl to match that.
Yeah.
So I think it's like our favorite NFC piece of any variety. And
then we kind of just got to hope Goddard comes back, ideally.
Right.
I think there's a good chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I do have to run now. This is fun.
Yeah, man.
Finishes up.
Peace, Andy.
Yeah, we'll see you next everyone. Week. Peace.
Happy drafting.
Yeah.
Happy drafting. Yeah, I think we can just take our shot on like NFC pieces right now because like we don't really need another AFC piece unless we get screaming value.
Yeah. Jack, I kind of think you were right. I think we probably should have gone Devonta and Swift there because we've cornered the market on Bills. I don't think anyone was necessarily going to take a rogue Kincaid, but I don't think it's bad.
These rooms are wild, man.
I'd also be open to literally going five Bills, like, and tack on Shakir or something, even.
Yeah.
basically go five Bills and then like a combo of three. And this is, I think this is the build too, where we get the like random ass Niners guys, where you do like the Juwan Jennings, the Eli Mitchells, the Ronnie Bells.
Well, can you have five players from the same team hit your starting lineup in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. You just need five.
Five live. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if we got Shakir and we're playing for Bills Super Bowl, then like I wouldn't even feel as much pressure to tack on more 49ers. I think at that point you can consider
it still
plays. Sure. Like you want more shots on goal in the Super Bowl itself, but I think it does give you more flexibility to then take a one off that you might not if you're still trying to fill your Super Bowl five.
Yeah. The whole thesis with those guys is that like you show up and like you have everybody blocked, like you guys all have the same players, but you're the only one that has Ronnie Bell. And if Ronnie Bell happens to outscore Khalil Shakir in the Super Bowl, which wouldn't be an insane thing, then you're running to the podium. Did we lose Goddard or do we still have him? Okay. He's here. So that could work out. I think Goddard definitely makes sense to give us the only other good Philly piece. And also, I mean, going to have an awesome matchup round one versus the Bucks too.
I'm into it. How out of pocket would you consider, like, we locking Goddard? I think that's a good pick. But, like, would you consider, like, Fergie to get a Dallas
at piece, this like, point?
Or not? Because if you're just trying because
now I just want to, be laser focused on Eagles Niners conference championship.
Okay.
So like to me, how I think we do this is I think we take Eli Mitchell here and be done at running back.
I'm cool with that. Yeah.
And then we could basically decide, I think we take one more Bill. And then we take one more, like whatever random ass Niner you guys want.
Cool. Would it be insane? I mean, maybe not with this Bill. Let's say it was flipped to Dallas or something. But to take a second quarterback here, like if with Allen, it's tough. But like, won't there be times where the rest of the team gets through, but the quarterback doesn't?
Yeah, but because of like our bet on the Bills, like if the Bills don't make the Super Bowl, this team's like dead. So then
is there a world where the Bills make the Super Bowl, but one of those games, it's like, you know, how they played Dallas, it's 17-3 and they ran the shit out of the ball. And like having Stroud, you know, like Allen doesn't throw versus Pittsburgh, they just run all over them. Is that something that you're trying to do? Or I don't know, like, do quarterbacks go on? I mean, Flacco obviously did it, but like a 4-week tear where they're pushing teams all the way through, that feels like a lot.
Yes. The thing is like, it really is like the expected value thing. So like in those scenarios, right? Like if we're trying to beat 1 of 5, 1 of 6, and then we have to finish like 1 of 50. And so having the extra piece in the 1 of 50 round is so much more valuable than like the scenarios where the Bills advance and a quarterback outscores. The one scenario, Jack, I think I would just maybe consider it is like on this build and Jalen Hurts is available in the 10th round. And it's we've already made a bet on the Eagles. And for some reason, everyone's just fucking ignoring them. Like, yeah, let's just scoop up that value. Cause we already need the Eagles to go far.
Shakir here.
I think Shakir.
What about
he looks good.
Dave Davis is right there.
I know. But might not play.
We might get, let's get Gabe too. Fuck it.
We could, we could just onslaught Bills or
I have a couple,
the Juwan Jennings or Ronnie Bell.
I have a couple mitten teams where I just took every single Bill and then just mix and matched NFC Championship.
You're a big Bills fan these days, huh?
I mean, I just like it for the purposes of drafting within structure. And
I know. I'm saying like now you're going to be a big Bills fan because of
honestly. The situation. Yeah, will be.
All right, who do you guys want for this last pick? A Bill or a Niner?
Knox is actually a good shout too. I keep seeing the chat say Knox. It's not the craziest thing because he's live for a touchdown at any point. I kind of like that actually. I kind of like Knox.
The only thing is I still feel like him and Kincaid are slightly
Yeah, I like Juwan.
But a ping pong. I think it's all pretty even.
I will say the one thing I think about a lot is if I think I have like a super chalk team, then I might be like, all right, let me do the Ronnie Bell, like Galbraith. But because we got such that unique combo with sneaking Ayuk, I'm more willing to kind of like chalk it up and just take the best Niner. And so now, like, I mean, if we get a Buffalo Niner Super Bowl, I mean, this team is just lit. Loaded yeah. for that.
Yeah. I got one similar that's got Devo on it. So I'll be pretty hype if they work out like this.
There's got to be. So how much do you think about like those people who were drafting early? Obviously in a new contest, it doesn't matter. But like the gauntlet rather, that's been live since the start. Are you drawing dead, or is the assumption that for every Allen Diggs team that was drafted rounds 5 and 6, they also had ETN or something?
Yeah, I mean, I was tabbing through some of mine, and I do have a ton of dead Jags. I think the Jags were really the biggest landmine, right? That people would have. Also, like, I have a bunch of Keaton Mitchell from like early drafts because I was like, he is going to be a sick playoff hammer. So that's like, that's
I think we took him on our last other club draft a few weeks back.
In your sifting, I assume you also have very live teams that were drafted. Like, what are me like a super team that you have? And then I'm saying, like, should you then just be fading Buffalo? Because even if you draft the best Buffalo team like we just drafted, there's way better Buffalo teams that exist.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I there's people who have way bigger super teams than me. And like, I'm just tabbing through here. Like, here's a Tua Jacksonville thing here.
You got a lot of Mahomes.
Yeah. I honestly, like, I missed a lot of the cheap bills. So yeah, I'm probably not even the best. I haven't tabbed through all of the, I just did like a quick thing. Here's one. Here's like a Brock that I only took one quarterback early on. So this is taking a zero at quarterback, doesn't have Keaton Mitchell. Like, this team is dead, which is, yes. You got to crack a few omelets or eggs to make an omelet in these contests.
I also think too, like, one of my takeaways from just like best ball as a whole is like pod variance is so high.
Yeah,
that I think even despite, like, let's say that, you know, Bills do just like sun run to the Super Bowl, and there is a nice allotment of teams that are drafted similarly with like Bills onslaughts and then a team or two from like the NFC. I mean, if things are consistent from kind of this best ball season to the playoff structure, like, oh, some of those teams aren't going to make it through even. So you're already like whopping off a percentage of those as well, I would imagine, because you're going to have that room where somebody did optimize for round one and not round, you know, not the Super Bowl. So you're hoping to slide through that. But then I don't know. So I think we'll lose a percentage of those teams that look good on paper just from pod variance.
Yeah.
And because they're going to lose to the Ravens, but that's, you know, for another time.
This is why I like getting some entries like in, you know, if you haven't fired at the gauntlet now, I there's always the trade-offs, right? You are going against some super teams, but you can build a really strong portfolio because even just not only that, it's not even just having injured team players and not even just having the teams that didn't make the playoffs, but just understanding what the bracket is. There's going to be so many teams where I'm sure there's a lot of Dolphins Chiefs builds, like, and now those things are completely suboptimal. So yeah, I think there's still a pretty nice, and this little gauntlet has been open for a long time too. So you can build like that team we just built in there, even though there's probably better Bills values, like, the additional information we have with our Bills build is probably very, very helpful.
Yeah.
Like, all right, dudes. Yeah. Jack, it was great to get you back in the saddle. Are you going to be going to any Ravens playoffs games?
So, I mean, fingers crossed that they, for some reason, put the game on Sunday. We would red eye with my $100 check. $100. Well, that's actually what I might
end up. That's a good slip right there.
That's just for the pick'em slip, too. Yeah.
Yeah, my participation fee. We would red eye Saturday night to Baltimore for that game. If not, we would 100% be at the AFC Championship, pending no Flacco or Stroud insanity. And then obviously I'll be out in Vegas for Super Bowl. The great thing about the one seed is all you have to do is win two home games and you're the better team in both games. It's really fascinating. So I should probably be less defeatist and change my mentality for January. Win $100,000, win, you know, the Super Bowl. Well, that visualization I said, I'll key that in.
You know, that Stavi moxie, you know?
Just, yeah, exactly.
Jump on the chest a little bit.
There you go.
Like, who's your upset pick for this weekend? That's what I want to hear. What's your spicy take?
So the Rams are obviously super, super public, but I actually do like the Rams as a underdog. Like, the Detroit defense, I just don't trust in the dome. McVay is great. Campbell apparently gets on tilt like the rest of us, which is great if you want to hang out with him at a casino and laugh, but not as a head coach going for two from the 7-yard line. I don't think they'll pull it off, but I think that the kind of like the dynamic of Miami versus Kansas City, you think about their game in Germany at a neutral. If Tyreek doesn't fumble, if Tua makes one other throw, they likely at least go into overtime, but they could have easily won that game. Miami looked like shit the last few weeks, but shit relative to like, they looked fairly good against Baltimore for, you know, a half or 28 minutes. And then, like, everyone loves Buffalo. They were beating Buffalo. And I know Allen made turnovers and sorts like that. But, like, they didn't have Mostert and Waddle. And then on the Kansas City side, I've never seen a team benefit so much from not playing. Like, people forgot that the Chiefs have been atrocious over the last month just because they didn't trap Mahomes out there. If you gave me anything over 20 degrees, I'd be betting Miami to win, but I like 3.5, so I like Miami there. I also like Houston. It's not great to bet on a rookie quarterback, but I just don't.
You look at every single dog.
Well, I think every dog is live except for the Steelers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually really like Dallas. Like, yes, they're playoff chokers and all that, and Love's been sensational, but the Cowboys have been the best NFL team at home this season, like by a wide margin. And then I've kind of waffled back and forth. I think I'm going to take the Bucks. I think people are having a tough time like processing that the Eagles aren't good, but we've now seen for like half a season they're genuinely not good. Like, you can't think about them being who they normally are. So AJ Brown hurt, Devontae Smith hurt, Hurts has a messed up finger, and Baker's got a little moxie that could win a playoff game.
We're due for Evans like alpha game too, because I've been martingaling that for the last 3 weeks on Redacted and not been going well. He did not play too well weeks.
Your Panthers elite secondary shut him down last week. But
evidently,
I think that game should be a pick 'em. Like, the fact that they're 2.5-point road favorites seems kind of crazy to me when you consider their health, their form, all of that.
Unless they find a secondary, like, I mean, Evans should
no eat. like. It's laughable because you look at what happened the last 2 weeks, right? They got destroyed by the Giants.
Goddamn Giants.
And the Cardinals.
And lost to the Cardinals at home. Like, and didn't force them to punt. Like, it's not like they're just, people are so confused. If MVS catches the ball and Josh and Bass makes a kick or Gabe Davis runs the right route, like, this team, they have a worse record. That they're literally playing in Dallas, or they're not the 5 seed. So I think people need to take Philly for what they've shown us they are. Could they beat this average ass Bucks team? Obviously, but like, you get plus money at home. I'm fine with it.
I like the Bucks pick.
All right, guys, thanks for hanging out. Jack, thanks for swinging by again. We'll be sure to get these rolling again here soon. Maybe we can get Jennings back in the saddle to preview his take. I have a feeling he'll be a little bit more confident in his chances than you.
You know, and he'll know exactly who's playing in the Super Bowl. Sometimes you need a little Jennings in your life.
Yeah. Also, I saw some people mentioned it in the chat. Underdog actually just dropped another playoff contest. It's a very nice format, $10, 10 entry max. and Ooh. Still has 5K to first, 2 of 6 advance, 2 of 6 advance in the semis, Ooh. Which is really Ooh. Nice. So if you were like, you know, really trying to budget like your that. Bankroll for these playoff contests, I would say this is one of the best ones I've seen pop up. So
take also, advantage of the summit. Shout out Underdog. Like just scrolling these tournaments is nuts. Like how many and just the different structures. And then I scroll all the way to the end and I need to know the sickos who are drafting a way too early NBA playoffs best ball draft. Like, are you okay? Like, are yeah. you doing
it? RIP Jaw.
Yeah, RIP yeah. Jaw. Next to the championship. You know the deal. OG Anunoby, MVP. All right. Well, appreciate you guys for welcoming yeah. me back. Hopefully you win some money fading or tailing me in a couple weeks. And I'll see you guys at the Super Bowl.
Sounds good. And I should also mention I'm going to do, instead of my usual like Friday GPP show, we're going to do like a doubleheader Badge Bros on my channel going through the Battle Royale slate for Wildcard Weekend, bunch of fun contests. And then we'll hop over to their channel to do some final playoff drafts. So you can look forward to that doubleheader Friday afternoon, 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock back to back. Good luck in all your drafts. Enjoy the rest of your week. For Clay, for Andy, for Jack, I'm Pete. We'll see you guys next time on the club.